Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey y'all, Cam here with an exciting announcement. So this is kind of wild, but we've actually been nominated for... Hello?
Hi, is this Cam?
Yeah, sorry, who is this?
Hi, it's... my name's Orlando Carver.
Okay.
I'm Ellie Sinclair's cousin.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, you said to call.
I did?
Yeah, in the podcast for, you know, if we wanted to stop Rex.
Oh, for the coven, if you're in the coven.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, hi.
Hi.
So, I just want to make sure, you're in 71st.
Well, yeah.
Like, currently.
Uh-huh.
And you're calling because you...
want to stop Rex, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Obviously, a ton of us do.
They do?
I mean, have you seen the guy? Jesus.
I mean, yeah, but...
But,
I don't know, I didn't think people actually cared.
And not according to you.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah.
So that list of people I read last week...
No, they support him, yeah.
Well...
But that's like 5 guys.
5 really powerful guys.
Well.
What?
Look, there's no way to... I don't want to sound like a douchebag, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I mean, yes, they're powerful, but by 71st standards, I...
Wow. But still, they're openly supporting him, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
And the Magister, Deimos, he's okay with that?
No, God, no, he hates Rex.
He does?
Yeah.
So why isn't he doing anything to stop them?
Freedom of speech?
Well.
Well, what?
I mean, is that much of a thing in religion?
I mean, Ormond is not that kind of religion. Free will is what sets us apart. That's like our whole point. Self-determination. He's not the Pope, you know?
Sure.
Look, I know I hate it too, but we can't become like them, right? We can't let magisters just... police people's opinions.
Then what's your plan?
Plan?
Yeah, to stop Rex.
Well, that's kind of why I'm calling, right?
Uh-huh.
Coverage bias.
Coverage bias?
Yeah, didn't you go to journalism school?
No.
Doesn't matter. Anyways, it says a journalist can never be truly objective because there's already a bias in what they choose to report on.
So...
When 90% of a coven wants Rex Whirlitz behind bars, but all you focus on is that other 10%, people will start to think that's the majority. And the longer they do, the truer it gets. You're giving the radicals a soapbox.
So, you want me to, what, just stop trying to find it?
No. I'm just saying, fight fire with water. Show the other side of the coven, the normal side. I think I can help you do that. If you want. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to diss...
No, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Far out.
Are you gonna be safe doing that, though?
Dude, cat's out of the bag at this point. I mean, I'm not gonna reveal our, like, Da Vinci Code secrets or anything.
Damn, no secret tunnels?
Alas and alack. I mean, I can make some shit up if it gets you more views or downloads or...
Rain check. You know, in my defense, I have been trying to show both sides. I've been bringing on Danny Vasquez. What?
Well, that's not really... the other side.
Hmm?
Look. You gotta stop making it sound like the options are Rex Wurlitz or Susan Wilde.
Aren't they?
No, because Susan's also an extremist. She's not a terrible person. You know, I even knew her a bit before. I'm sure she believes in what she's doing, but that group is extremely, extremely dangerous.
Oh?
Susan started the first breakaway coven in the history of Oromana. She's the only reason we're talking about a schism. And they're pushing conjuring. Look, to be clear, I don't think Susan's as bad as Rex. But a lot of people would disagree with that. Even if they wouldn't support Rex otherwise. But if you make those two the ultimatum, you're not gonna like the outcome.
I can't... I mean, no offense, but I just don't understand how anyone could think that Susan is worse than Rex.
If you understood how dangerous conjuring is, you would. And it's getting worse every day. I mean, now that St. Charles declared for Susan, Cielo's trying to convince Deimos and London to take them over.
Wait. St. Charles, New Orleans, they went with Susan?
A couple days ago, yeah.
What does... I mean, that's huge, right?
Yes. And it's not a good thing. You know who benefits? Rex. Folks are saying this is why we need him, because we're falling apart, and he can restore unity. The stronger she gets, the stronger he gets. And the more everyone else is fucked.
That's not great.
Nope.
Does that mean that St. Charles is conjuring now?
I guess so. Or at least that they recognize Susan's coven as legitimate. I don't think anyone really knows. Oromana's never had a schism. Until now.
Right.
I'd stay the hell away from New Orleans for a while, though.
Because of conjuring?
Just in case.
You know, if Susan's already been doing it for 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't we have seen the effects by now?
Dude. Look around.
Hey, Whispers. Cam here. Before we get started today, I have to tell you about some friends we made at the Ambies. They make a show called Incoming. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but back in 2018 in Hawaii, everybody got a text message letting them know that there was a missile incoming and basically they had 20 minutes to live. It was insane. People were jumping into sewers. They were saying their last goodbyes. They were confessing secrets. Incoming was inspired by that. Each episode focuses on a different character who finds out that they only have 20 minutes left to live and follows them as they figure out what to do with that time. Some episodes are tragic, some are really funny, and they were nominated for Best Script Writing at the Ambies, so you know it's good. You can find and listen to Incoming anywhere you get your podcasts. But in the meantime, here's a little taste.
This is Steve Spolarich, the quality control supervisor with the company. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a missile coming to kill all of us right now, so I don't think I'm going to be able to actually make it in on Monday, or probably ever again. And you know what? Well, I have you, if you have a second.
Do you remember when the servers went down and no one got their Christmas bonuses? I suggested server redundancy, and you said it was too expensive for the company. And now I had to get my mom the cheap wheelchair, and I can't get her over the curb. And you know what? Since I'm never going to talk to you again, you ever seen the budgets why we spend so much money on staplers? It's because I throw them away. Yeah, I throw them away in the garbage. Do you ever wonder why your mail never makes it to your desk? It's because I've been throwing it away. Yeah, seeing you say, "Oh, where's my mail?" is the greatest 30 seconds of my week. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, go f*** yourself, and thanks. Have a great day, Steve Spolarich. Bye.
What would you do with your last few minutes on Earth? Subscribe to Incoming now, before it's too late.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So, a lot to unpack there. I got that call right before we left for the Ambies. I'm still kind of in shock that we won. But believe it or not, that's actually not the weirdest thing that happened in Chicago. But backing up, we drove because the plane tickets were bonkers, so I had about 13 hours in the car to think over everything Orlando said. It's still a little surprising to hear someone who's so against Rex turn around and say conjuring's a real danger. It's hard to wrap your head around. I mean, I guess that's how most Oromana feel, but, well, I mean, except not New Orleans. I mean, that's fucking insane. For them to officially align with Susan on conjuring could mean there's an actual... Okay, sorry, context. Because I don't think Marlo told you much about this. There's never been a true schism in Oromana. And I know Susan and Rex, but the thing is, their covens aren't officially recognized. Here's the deal. In Oromana, not all covens are considered equal. You have to be recognized to be a legitimate coven, but then above that, there's a group called the Elder Covens. They hold all the power. The ones I'm aware of are 71st, which is New York, Wrigley, which is Chicago, Cielo in LA, London, don't know their name, Manassas in DC, and St. Charles, which is New Orleans. Again, there has never been a schism in Oromana. And you can kind of see why. The Oromana don't hex each other. It's one of their big rules. And if you had two covens that separated from each other, well, you can see where that goes. But St. Charles, which is an elder coven, just said they're recognizing Susan. And I assume going back to conjuring, which... yeah. I don't really know what happens now. Cult wars? Honestly, from what I understand, if anyone was going to break away, it makes sense it'd be New Orleans. They've always been a little more autonomous than the other elder covens. Actually, there's a thing in Irving's diary about them. Apparently, in his time, St. Charles wasn't even recognized. So, before the Civil War, there was only one Oromana family below the Mason-Dixon line, the Bedfords. They had a plantation outside New Orleans. But just before the war, the New York leadership somehow convinced the Bedfords to abandon it and move to the north. They're part of 71st to this day. But here's the interesting thing. There were about 100 freedmen who'd picked up Oromana while they were enslaved on the Bedfords plantation. They incorporated it into their existing spiritual traditions, and after the war, they founded a coven of their own in New Orleans. 30 years later, when Irving was writing about them, they still hadn't been recognized by New York. Oh, I should mention that St. Charles also has a particular interest in astronomy, and you might recognize their magister's name from Ellie's blog, Ambrose Rawls. He'd been exchanging letters with Monik G. Wadia, Zareen's cousin, about their discovery of the celestial alignment. It sounds like Rawls paid a visit to New York in 1899 to present that discovery to Magister Van Tassel. But, well, you'll see.
Just in here, Mr. Rawls. Mrs. Martin will be right down.
Thank you.
Ambrose, they didn't tell me you'd already arrived in town.
I had to make you my first stop after the Magister, but I hope you'll excuse me that.
Well, duty calls. Here, come sit down. Would you like some tea, coffee?
Tea would be wonderful, if that's not too much.
Agatha?
Mrs. Martin?
Some Darjeeling when you can?
Of course, I'll have that right up.
Thank you.
I'm glad to see you.
You haven't aged a day.
You're one to talk.
If memory serves, you're due to be a grandfather by now, aren't you?
Percy and his wife are blessed with a boy last month.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And everyone is healthy?
Very much so, very much. And you, are your girls still in Paris?
Indeed they are. But more interested in art than in men or children, as far as I'm aware.
It's a credit to your parenting, you know, giving them the gift of such freedom.
It was never mine to give. But as long as they're happy, I'm content.
Well said.
So, since you've gone and prioritized Titus Van Tassel over me, I think you're obligated to tell me how your interview went?
Well, Mr. Wadi and I did our best.
Oh?
The Magister's not exactly pleased with our theory.
Let me guess. He has no evidence to refute it, but he's unhappy to hear that your next celestial alignment is so far away.
Precisely.
Ah. Oh, thank you.
Excuse me.
I hope he didn't treat you badly.
Not about that, but may I be frank?
Of course.
Titus Van Tassel is the son of a founder, Magister of the New York Coven. No one alive is more powerful than he is. Is that not enough?
Enough?
Without also needing to be more powerful than his grandchildren might.
To be honest, I think it's difficult for Roscoe, too. Although, in his case, it's not a question of comparison. I think it's the frustration of seeing the good he could be doing now, but lacking the ability to do it.
Well, I can't say the Magister has that problem. He has plenty of opportunities to do good that he chooses not to take.
You spoke to him about recognition for New Orleans?
Yes.
Still no progress.
Same as always, perhaps when the time is right. We've been functioning as a coven for 30 years. The time has been right for quite a while.
I'll see what I can do. Perhaps if I broach it gently with Victorine.
Sibylla, things have changed in Louisiana. It's getting worse and worse ever since Plessy lost his case. It's not just the railroad cars. Now it's the libraries, the hospitals. Our coven needs far more than recognition.
You know, you can always come here for as long as you need.
Thank you, truly, but no. None of us chose New Orleans as our home, but that's what it is. We won't be pushed out.
Of course. I just want you and your family to be safe.
Then support us.
I do support you. Maybe you're right about Victorine. Maybe she can't influence her husband. But there could be other avenues.
Which?
I'll think on it. What?
Forgive me, but I came here to see the woman who inundated Confederate veterans with lawsuits when they tried to touch a provision she collected for the freedmen. Who then returned to New York to revive the Women's Loyal National League. And now, what? You whisper in corners and tiptoe around Titus Van Tassel? The woman I remember would never have done that.
That woman couldn't be part of this coven.
What?
Oh, yes, Ambrose. That was made quite clear. I was at risk of becoming too conspicuous. And that puts the entire coven at risk.
You're the scion of the Doyles. You help decide what the coven does.
That would be my Uncle Theodore.
Pardon?
He is a Doyle. As are his children. I was a Doyle, Ambrose. I am now a Martin.
And you accept that?
It's not a matter of accepting. It's a matter of using the influence I do have to do what I can, rather than throwing it all away.
I'm asking for you to use that influence.
And I'm telling you, I will try.
Is Bedford Jr. opposed to recognition?
I fear he is. I'd hope that attitude would have passed on with his father, but
you'll forgive me if I'm unconcerned with his attitudes. Sibylla, I don't doubt that you're in a difficult situation, I don't. But you're the grandchild of a founder.
Ambrose.
I am the grandchild of a man who was kidnapped from his home and taken to a foreign land to be enslaved in the fields. When I was a little boy, the Bedfords considered it a kindness that they let me dress in civilized clothes and carry their trunks into the house. You have dinners with the family who did that to me, to all of us. We are owed far more than what we are asking. But it seems even being seen as a fellow Armana is too much to ask.
Ambrose,
excuse me.
Wait.
December 6th, 1899. Consoled Sibylla today after a bad reunion with an old friend. I'd hoped to summon some kind of distraction for her. As usual, fate provided it. Just as usual, it did so in a manner very different than what I'd expected. Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I'm actually jealous.
Oh?
If you think there aren't days I wish Elliot was off in Paris where I didn't have to worry about him, in a sense I think it'd suit him better too.
Did you have your talk with him?
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh. Did he tell you who he fancies?
He asked me who I thought he should fancy.
And you told him?
Well, yes. I said Viola was the better option.
Oh, Irving.
He asked.
There are certain questions you aren't meant to answer. Tell me that wasn't how you ended it.
I tried to reassure him, but we were interrupted by Dalton.
Really?
He was shouting at Georgina Wilde. We happened across them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What was he shouting about?
We couldn't quite hear. Something business-related, I think. He might have threatened her.
Threatened? How?
Unclear. It was hard to make out specifics, but Mrs. Wilde said she was fine.
And you believe her?
They can hold their own, you know that. Nobody in their right mind would dare cross the wife of Cassian Wilde.
Irving, I'm not convinced we should be so blithe about this.
I'm not sure blithe is exactly... I did already step out on a limb to check on her. She insisted it was nothing. It's a difficult situation, but...
Irving, doing nothing is not an option.
There's nothing left to do.
Think of Edward and Filbert. Georgina Wilde is on that list, and you saw them arguing.
Well, what are you proposing?
I'm proposing that we may be able to save a life today.
Titus, if we turn this over to the Magister... Point taken.
I think it's time to discuss this with Dalton Thorne.
Well, Sibylla, I appreciate the gravity, but we have no proof. Are you suggesting we just show up at his home and accuse him of murder?
Perhaps.
That's insanity. What could we possibly stand to gain
by... If we're right, then Dalton has been working under the comfort of anonymity. The least we can do is deprive him of that. If he knows that our eyes are on him...
This is completely...
Necessary, Irving. It's completely necessary.
Mrs. Martin, Mr. Johnson, good day. I'm afraid Mr. Thorne is out of town for the holidays.
Actually, we're here to see the younger Mr. Thorne. Dalton?
Oh, of course. Please come in.
Thank you.
Pleasure. He'll be with you shortly.
When I tell him that I overheard the argument at Madison, you jump in as if I relayed everything to you as well. I don't want him to catch on that I didn't hear much. If we're lucky...
We should have fleshed out this plan.
You say that now?
I don't think he'll fold so easily. He'll test what we know.
Sibylla, we're already sitting...
I don't know. Just engage in a bit of small talk until we have the opportunity to...
What kind of opportunity?
Business. Business opportunity.
Business opportunity? Indeed. As Irving said.
Well...
Tell him, Irving. It's exciting, really.
Yes, well, I am considering embarking on a new venture. Actually, Sibylla and I are partners, along with Roscoe, of course.
What kind of venture?
What kind of venture, you ask? It's an excellent question.
I know.
Well, you know I have a substantial trust. Most of it sits in securities and bonds.
The benefits of a direct line of descendancy.
The Martins and I have been watching our portfolios, and frankly, we're looking for a better return on our investment.
Mr. Thorne, we are literally surrounded by captains of industry, and we find ourselves inspired.
To be steel barons?
No, not exactly. But we would like to actually create something, as opposed to just sitting idly by while others make the world. So we're starting a company, something... In the medical field, a building on Roscoe's expertise.
I don't know anything about medicine.
That'll be Roscoe's arena. Sibylla understands the market, and I'm good with money, but we need something we don't have.
Youth, vigor, drive. We need someone with a new perspective to guide this endeavor.
Our generation is the past. We're cautious, temperate, you might even say fearful. Your generation, you are the future of Oromana.
Elliot's as young as I am. Why haven't you asked him?
Dalton, I'm going to be candid. Elliot's heart is in the arts. He's...
Soft?
Strong, but indecisive. And what we need is someone with qualities that are more conducive to success.
And which qualities are those?
It's no secret that the Carnegies, the Morgans, the Rockefellers didn't get where they are because of kindness.
They do what's needed.
And we see that in you. We think it's time for something new, fresh ideas.
What ideas?
What?
The company. What's the technology?
Well...
Suffice it to say, we saw how you handled Edward Doyle at the rejoining ceremony, and we were impressed.
Really?
Yes.
So you're sympathetic to...
Yes?
That our luck has turned, and that the power is not equal among us?
Entirely. And something should be done.
But your husband...
Yes? Well, Roscoe is completely behind you leading this venture.
I was under the impression that he considers me reckless.
Uncouth, but forward-thinking, determined.
Pragmatic, resolute, not willing to let people stand in your way.
How do you mean?
Filbert Stokes, for one.
What does he have to do with this?
I understand that you had disagreements with Filbert. That he didn't see things your way. Now, he's no longer in your way.
Excuse me!
We're on your side,
and what side is that?
Sometimes drastic measures are
warranted. If you're implying what I think you should leave. Wynn! Wynn! Where are you?
Dalton, we know about the list.
List? What list?
The Van Tassel sisters recovered it from your apartment on the day of the fire.
At the Windsor? Are you telling me those girls broke into my apartment, went through my possessions?
I don't think you have quite the standing to be offended in light of the circumstances.
And you have the audacity to lie your way in here and threaten me under the presumption that I killed...
Two men on that list are already dead following arguments they had with you. I heard you shout at Georgina Wilde, and I have a piece of your stationery with her name on it. If any harm should come to her...
And what came to Loretta Van Tassel?
Excuse me?
What was she doing when the Windsor came down? Had she not been burglarizing me, where would she be today?
Mr. Thorne?
See them out. Tell yourself whatever you wish. You'll see the truth soon enough.
We're ready now.
Soon.
Let's go.
You have everything wrong, you know. Save one thing. I am the future of Oramana. And at Van Tassel's New Year's Eve ball... Then you'll get to see what that future looks like.
What did he mean by that? What's he planning at the ball? What? What is it?
Did you see it?
See what?
The sideboard in the foyer. The door was ajar. I recognized it immediately.
Recognized what?
Tapestry. Cousin Edward's missing tapestry from his study.
Mother of God. We spent the night deliberating. No decisions yet. To go to the police guarantees revealing the existence of the coven. And if he is using hexing, what justice could the law even provide? At the same time, trying to deal with this internally poses its own dangers. The climate within the coven makes me intensely uncomfortable, giving any attention to the concept of the Oramana hexing one another. Our strength lies in two things. Our secrecy... and our unity. My generation understands the sacredness and the price of the latter. Elliot's generation does not. It's a lesson I don't want them to learn the way I did. But young people don't have an ear for reason. The best I can do is deny them more fuel for suspicion and divisiveness. But with 1900 and the New Year's ball weeks away, what does that look like?
So, speaking of the law, something happened when we were in Chicago. We were in the hotel room getting ready for the ambies. The ceremony was on a Monday, and Katie's a civil rights lawyer, so naturally she was trying to squeeze in some last-minute work before we walked out the door. I was ironing my suit jacket when I heard Katie literally gasp and say, "Oh my God." And Aaron's like, "What?" And she just keeps staring at her computer saying, "Oh my God, oh my God." And she waves us over, So we're all looking at her screen, and I'll admit, I don't really know what I'm looking at, but okay, here's how she explained it. So in the United States, every court case is public. You can look at the documents online. Now, the only exception is if a case is sealed. But this is apparently really rare and usually only happens if the material in the case is really sensitive or if it'd be damaging to the victims of a crime for it to be public. So, like if there are minors involved or things like that. Again, it's rare. Katie was emphatic about that. Now, the way you seal a court case is that one of the lawyers has to file what's called a motion to seal, and the judge has to approve it. So, now that you know that, Katie was researching some federal case in Oregon, in the database where all that stuff lives, when she happened to notice something. A judge's order granting the plaintiff's unopposed motion to seal a federal case. The United States of America v. John Doe, a.k.a. Rex Wurlitz. Yeah. There it is. The answer to a question I've had for 4 years. There is a federal criminal case against Rex. Since it's sealed, we don't know what the charges are, but we all heard it. Anyways, then we had to go downstairs for the awards ceremony, so that was pretty disorienting. But when we got back to the room, Katie gave us some analysis. The obvious major implication is that Rex would have a hard time re-entering the U.S. by any legal means, and he definitely wouldn't want us to know he was here if he did sneak in on someone's yacht or whatever. Beyond that, the judge who approved the order to seal the court case didn't explain his decision, which really raised Katie's eyebrows, so no idea what that's about. But it's not normal. And this. This one's a big deal. John Doe, a.k.a. Rex Wurlitz. The government doesn't know Rex's real name. Which, that one surprises me, given, you know, the government. I mean, that's pretty nuts. To conceal that, like, you'd have to completely no contact with anyone from your past life, new documents, new ID. He ran a state-licensed halfway house. To do all that well enough to fool the U.S. government? The FBI? Who the hell is this guy? What Happened in Skinner is produced at Mazama VoiceOver Studios in New York City. This episode featuring Gene Taffler, Moses Magruder III, Dan Olson, Jack Barinholtz, Ari Brand, Estelle Olivia, Katrina Brown, and Aaron Blanton. Music by Mitch Gardner. What Happened in Skinner theme by Aurelie Webb. Thank you so much to our patrons and the folks participating on the Discord. Our show is funded by listeners like you. Join us at patreon.com/whathappenedinskinner.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.